After she passed away, I told Alvin, it was a week, I decided I'm not going to lie down. I'm going to get back up and I'm going to fight. Because 10 years down the line, I don't want to look back with regret.
This is another Baby Brunch podcast and we just want to thank our support.
Kiraprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Kiraprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life. This podcast is supported by Epimax. The Epimax Baby and Junior range now offers a sunscreen cream that provides broad-spectrum protection for all skin types, including your baby's sensitive skin. Enriched with vitamin E, aloe vera, and bisoprolol, this moisturizing SPF 50 cream is dermatologically approved and delivers daily protection against harmful UVA and UVB rays. Try it today and feel the difference.
It's always wonderful to have real life stories with real life people, especially if you're fanning you, Akisa Ananger, ladies and gentlemen. Please put your hands together for Anrika Brander. Oh, it's just me in studio and our camera people. I can't even believe you're sitting here.
There's a fool for me to be is. You say you're fan, I'm fanning.
To give you an idea for those of you listening, if you follow her on social media, she is like a rainbow, a beautiful one. If there's not feathers and bling, it's not her. I mean, today she's wearing a beautiful pink jacket with fireflies embedded on it and a beautiful necklace and stripes and blonde and rainbow hair and pink makeup. You are just, you are outside like you are inside.
I love color because I believe color brings joy.
I'm reading a book now, which I'm reading a few books, Anrika, I must say, but slowly, okay? Uh-huh. I'm no library. So I'm reading this book, I'm going to tell it, and it said, you know, the life is for us given, this moment, what I and you now here sit, I know where my phone is, because I am with you.
Yes.
You know, this is the moment. I am living this moment with you. And tomorrow is not promised to us. So what brought you to a place where you're finding joy in the moment?
Well, my husband and I, we're very positive people. So we always try to find the good in the bad. And I think when my daughter Alaska passed away, I think I really realized that tomorrow is not promised. You know, we can control everything except life. You know, life will happen regardless of what we plan, what we try and set aside. So that's why I take out my best cutlery and crockery and I entertain and I live the moments and I collect my memories.
I know that we just started this chat, mm-hmm. but if there's anything in your entire world right now that you could have back, or that you could have, what would it be?
I think that I would have opted for adoption much earlier in my journey.
Really?
Yes, because when we had our son in 2016, we thought that would be it. And then when he was 6 years old, he started asking, when am I getting a brother? When am I getting a sister? When am I getting two brothers and two sisters?
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so I told Alvin, you know, are we being selfish? Because I thought we were just going to have the one and that's it and live our lives happily ever after. But what happens when we are not there anymore? Then he's going to be alone. Mm. And that's, for me, that feels a bit selfish. And then
he's a sibling.
Yeah. And then we started with the whole IVF journey over again. And then I had another 7 failed IVFs. And then we opted for the surrogacy, which was a success. But then because of an unfortunate genetic disorder, Alaska passed away after 7 days. And I think it was a week after she passed away, I told Alva, I sent him a WhatsApp and I told him, you know, this is not the end, right? I'm not gonna stop till I have my baby girl. Yes. And he said, okay, babe. He's so supportive and he just goes with everything that I want to do. And then we applied and we did all the paperwork and all the police clearances and all the vetting was done. And then they tell you to sit and wait for the phone to ring. So, and it can take anything from 3 months to a year to 3 years, depending on how picky you want to be. And then, it's a waiting game. So I think if I knew what I know now, I would have started that journey much earlier.
I always knew you. I always knew about you. But I think where my heart, joh, man. Dis toe, weet nie, ek het gesien op 'n plan julle dogtertjie en haar slaapkamer en die opgewondenheid op sosiale media. En do we take everyone on their journey with us and also what's it like planning and now she didn't see it?
Yes, I think after she passed away, I told my husband I had to make a decision for myself to say that I'm going to live for the people that are living. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to live for the people that passed away because we can't change. Mm-mm. We can't change anything of that.
Yeah.
And we'll see them one day. But for now, I need to look after the people that are here. And I think when I made that mental decision, things turned around for me and everything just. I want to say opened up and mm-hmm. cleared. And you still mourn. And people say, sometimes people tell me I never dealt with a death. But I do. I just deal
people
with
say
it.
That?
Yeah, people say because why? To them is I it? Seem too happy.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
So I think...
It's interesting that we decide for other people, right?
Right. And just because I deal with my hurt and grief in a certain way doesn't mean that I... I'm over it or not over it or not dealing with it at all. Mm. I just choose to follow the light instead of the darkness.
I think also sometimes people say something because they're going through something too.
Yes, true.
So I think perhaps, you know,
yeah. No,
someone said to me the one day, you do you and I will do me. maybe they should just do you and... me will do me, you know?
Yeah. And everyone deals with grief in their own way, you know? It's not something there's not a specific way to deal with something. You need to go through the motions and go through the grief and go through the anger and then get to the other side still standing and giving yourself the option of what am I going to do? Am I going to live like this for the rest of my life? Or am I going to choose to pick the light and continue living with that person just still alive in my memory?
You're the only mom I know that has gone through surrogacy, surrogatskap.
IVF. And adoption.
IVF. The loss of a baby.
Yes.
And adoption.
Yes. It's been rough. it's been a long road. I went through 17 failed IVFs. That's a lot. Emotionally and physically on your body. It's a lot. Yeah.
Can you remember who you were before all of this?
Vaguely. Yeah. But I think in a way, I don't want to say I'm grateful for the journey, but I'm thankful for me being the one that went through all of this and not anybody else, because I'm not afraid to talk about it with other women. And that's a big thing. Some women think it's a shameful topic to talk about. Women don't want to talk about it. They don't want to ask for help. They normally stay anonymous, and it's almost like it's looked bad upon if you can't
It's frowned
upon. Pregnant. Yeah. And it's almost
it
like...
It depends on culture. Yeah, you're right. Like, it's almost like... Yeah. She can't conceive.
It's like people think you're less of a woman if you can't get pregnant. And I went through my first couple of IVF rounds. I think the first 12, I stayed silent.
Sure.
I just told my mom and the people really closest to us. And then the 12th time, I got really ill. My body didn't want to get rid of the toxins anymore. So it was like storing all that hormones and stuff. Mm. And I got really sick. And then the doctor told me I have to stop. I can't. Otherwise, I would have carried on that time.
Right.
Then we started with surrogacy after the 12 failed IVF. And the first three, look, it's a very long legal thing you have to go through. You have to find lawyers that that specialize in surrogacy law. They have to get we all have to be scanned and police clearances, and they actually come inspect your house and how you live, and you have to get reference letters from friends and family, and it's a big process. And then they either source a surrogate for you, or if you have a friend or a mom or someone that's willing to carry for you, you can use them. And then the whole process starts. And it's quite expensive. There are cheaper options, but you never know. And you want to protect yourself. And then if all goes well, you'll have a bundle of joy.
So, Enrique, the one thing I know about you is that daar seker goed oor jouself wat jy nie te ernstig opneem nie. So we can laugh a little bit, right? So when Enrique walks into the studio, I say to her, okay, we have a chat. And then she says, maar Ilona, het jy geweet, my eerste surrogaat was a con artist. Two sexes. Dun, dun, dun. What happened?
So, so we planted in two embryos over three different cycles. And
with the same woman.
With the same woman. And she already has two of her own children, because you have to have your own kids if you want to be a surrogate for someone else. And then after the third attempt, our doctor contacted us to say he's worried. He doesn't think she's doing it for the right reasons, and he doesn't want us to continue with her. And then eventually it came out, because she knew there were still more embryos that were frozen that we could have planted in. And it came out eventually, after all the battles, that she, every time they planted in, she drank Monsters to let the embryos come down. So that was bad. And that was not a pleasant experience for us.
But she's then, smiling. She's
because I've been through it. I'm over it, I've made peace with it. So it's like I just want to advocate for other women. Just like, you know, when you get a surrogate, be sure they're doing it for the right reasons, because there are people, unfortunately, in the life we live in today that do it for the wrong reasons.
Help.
Yeah. And you're not by law allowed to pay them.
So I was going to quickly say this. So it's not like you gave her money, maar
no,
ondersteun hulle want hulle dra jou baba.
Yes. And after the third attempt, when we cancelled her, we told her, no, sorry, we don't want to continue anymore. And then she said, she told us, no, let's give it just one more go. And then with the last embryos, if we plant, she knows she'll get pregnant. And then if we can please buy her a car, because then she can get herself around. I was just like, hell no.
Wait.
And I took my suitcase and we ran in the direction.
Vinnig. Okay, so wat se geskenke het julle voor gegee?
Well, klere. Obviously, want hele lewe raak mos nou, maar sy was nog nie, dit, ons was nie so diep in die proces ooit gewees, okay, wat sy nou al positief getoets het nie, maar jy is mos, sy het haar eie kinders, so jy koop vir haar kinders speelgoed, and because you now want to be shame, sorry, I'm using your mommy for a year, so I just want you to like me as well, because she's
skoonheidsprodukte,
ja, enige groceries, skoonheidsprodukte, perfume, make-up, klere, you know, nice stuff.
Do you pay her bond?
No.
Okay.
No, you don't pay her bond. You have to pay all their medical fees, right, all their expenses.
Did she go to
visits,
the dentist during that time?
No. We didn't get that far.
I would go see all the doctors. I'd go to the ophthalmologist.
There's actually people that do that.
Oh,
hey?
My word.
Yeah.
So make sure of your surrogate.
Yes.
Be
I have
sure
to say,
be sure they do it for the right reason.
I went through with the two surrogates. So the first one with my son, Avrik, was a positive one. Also a lady we didn't know. And everything was just smooth. She really did it just for the love of
beautiful
carrying babies and helping other women. And she was a real angel. But she doesn't want to be mentioned or known or anything. She purely just did it because her heart is really good. And then when Alaska passed away, we I told my husband, okay, let's get a surrogate. Let's try this again. And I remember I was still sitting on the toilet. I advertised it on Facebook and I said, I need a surrogate. Does anybody want to be a surrogate for me? Because the wait is so long if you apply through the law.
Agency,
And then Avrik's great triple R teacher sent me a WhatsApp. I spoke to my husband and we've always said that we would love to help have kids. And I was like, I don't even think I pulled my pants up. I just ran in the hallway to Elvin. Babe, you won't believe. We found a surrogate.
And she's a teacher.
Yes. And she's just she's a beautiful person inside and out. She's like a real angel. And we started the whole process, all the paperwork, and we planted in. And I still remember this. The nurse called me. She said, oh, Rika, you guys are pregnant. Wow. I still thought, are you sure?
Sure, yeah.
Are you sure? Sure, just double check. I just, no, it's positive. It's a big, fat positive. And it was all happiness and laughter and tears and, you know, tears of joy. And it went really well up until 26 weeks.
Okay.
And then our gynae sent us to a fetal specialist. And when we got to the fetal specialist, she took some pictures and showed us the face and the feet and the hands and, you know, all excited. Yeah. And then she went quiet for a while. And then she said, oh, she just wants to look at something. And now you look at her and you look at the screen and you look at her and you're wondering, okay, what's going on? And then she said she's concerned about her feet. They look like club feet, but they weren't like turned in. They were just pointy.
Okay.
She looked like a little ballerina.
Right.
And then her one thumb was tucked in.
Okay.
So they call it a tucked in thumb. And then she said, you know, if it was only the feet that were pointy, that would have been wouldn't have been an issue. But because the feet are like that and the hand, it's neurological issues. And then Leandra got dressed and we went out and she said, what do you guys want to do? And I'm like, what do you mean? What do we want to do? Do you like want to abort the baby? And I'm like, hell no, we're not aborting the baby. It's like she's alive. It's a person. And her heart is beating. And we did some blood tests and the blood test came back and everything was okay. But apparently the blood test weren't in depth enough.
Right.
Yeah. And 2 weeks later, Leandre went into labor on 29 weeks and she was delivered and, just blue and non-responsive and not breathing. And then the doctor resuscitated her, took about 1 hour and he worked on her. And then he came out and he said he just wanted, we knew what was coming, but he just wanted to tell us that what she's got is lethal. It's not something she will recover from, you know. So it was quite, we already knew it. But, you know, when you see her there and they tell it to your face.
It's different.
It's different, yeah.
It's different because now she's born and she's a person.
Yes, and you're still praying and hoping for the best. But you have to deal with it. It's you in the little room and you sit with God and you ask those questions, you know. I remember we were sitting in the hospital and we just got the birth certificate and the doctor said it's going to be any day now. We have to prepare. So we were sitting and I told Alvin, but we've got the birth certificate. She's here. You know, why is he taking her away from us? It's happening. She's here. Why does she have to go away? And it was really a tough day. That was a tough day for me. And I think it was exactly 2 days after that, all her organs started failing. We asked the doctor if we could hold her because we never were able to hold her because of all the machines and all the pipes and everything that was in her. And then, Leandre also came, the surrogate, and I also gave her opportunity to also hold her because we were very close. And when I wasn't at the hospital, she would come fall in, so there was always someone there. And And yeah, at that stage, like your dreams, it feels empty. It feels like you had all these plans and you had all these hopes and, you know, girl dates and spa dates, and now there's just nothing. And after she passed away, I told Alvin, it was a week, I decided I'm not going to lie down. I'm going to get back up and I'm going to fight, because 10 years down the line, I don't want to look back with regret. I want to look back and say, I did everything in my power to get a bundle of joy. And I think that was when I also decided to become so vocal to tell other women that it doesn't matter how much pain you have to go through to get to your baby. Go through it, because it is worth it in the end. You will get to your bundle of joy. I went through the 17 IVFs, the 3 failed surrogacies, 1 positive surrogacy, another failed surrogacy, a con artist, and then adoption. And our picture turned out so beautiful. And so I just want to tell women that no matter your situation, no matter your heartache, no matter your troubles, there is hope. If you don't give up hope, there is hope.
Hoe baie het aanvaarding te doen met aanbeweeg?
Alles.
Oof.
Alles. Jy moet aanvaar dat dit is die lot wat jy mee gaan sit. En hoe vinniger jy met dit kan deal, hoe vinniger kan jy aanbeweeg.
Is jy nie kwaad vir God, he?
Nee. Ek is die want ek het so baie mense in die proses kon help. Dis hoekom ek sê, soos my huidige dogtertjie Azaria en my oorlede dogtertjie Alaska het soveel lewens kom verander sonder dat hulle dit eers weet. En ek sien dit as Alaska gebore was vir een rede, om 1 of 2 mense se lewens te kon verryk of te verander of hoop te gee, then I accept. Ek het op 'n stadium in die hospitaal gesit, toe het ek net vir die Here gesê, ek gee oor, laat U wil geskied. En daar het my vrede gekom.
Right.
Daar het ek aanvaar wat ook al gebeur, dit is die Here se wil, and I will accept it.
Yeah.
And I will make the best of it, and I'm going to be a strong mommy for my son.
Now that you've spoken about your life, because you speak about it with honesty and with a lot of beauty and confidence, right? Do you find that a lot of women contact you with similar stories?
Yes. And I'm so humbled by some of the stories, because some of the people talk to me and tell me, what you went through with Alaska, I lost 3 kids like that. And then I think to myself, sometimes I feel selfish for sharing my story and thinking my pain is bigger than someone else's. Mm-hmm. But then when they talk to me to tell me that they actually carried all their babies, so they had that personal connection with their babies, and then still had to be with them in the NICU 3 times, 3 different babies, and losing those babies, then I stand back and think, sure, my story is not that great, and not that sad, and not that significant if I hear the stories that people come to tell me.
But it's your story.
Yes. I just think I've been blessed with the courage to tell it on a public platform. And that gives other women the opportunity to come and express their grief and to relate with someone that actually went through it themselves.
When you speak like that, immediately I want to say, what can we do for you? If there's anything that you still need in your life, what would it look like?
I'm actually so content. we were sitting in bed the other night, Alvin and my son and our baby girl, and I told him in Afrikaans, ons bed is vol, babe, meaning we've got everything we wanted right here in between us. And I'm really so happy, and I'm so blessed And I don't take anything for granted. I'm just so humbled.
If you could hold the microphone and you could say to all the mummies and the daddies who have lost hope, oh gosh, our world is sad, you know. Some of us are aching. What would you say to them?
I would tell them that this is not the end. You have to fight. You have to wake up every morning and you have to fight for your dreams, because that's the only way you're going to get to them. You never give up hope on your dreams. You never stop fighting for your dreams. Alvin and I live by this quote of Rocky Balboa. It's like, the world is a mean and nasty place and it will hit you to the ground and it will keep you there if you let it. But that's not how winning is done. You get up and you fight back. And every time we fall down, we get up and we fight back. And that's how winning is done. You never give up.
You're the most feminine Rocky Balboa I've ever seen in my life. All you need is a feather bone. But I wouldn't stand in the way of your husband, okay? He's strong. He's like a guy, okay?
Yeah.
Wat beteken hoop vir jou vandag na alles wat jy deur is en ook na alles wat jy vir ander mense beteken? Wat beteken hoop vir jou?
As ek hoop in 'n skildery kon sit, dan is dit die mooiste, dromerigste fairy fantasy forest met skoenlappers. Want ek glo, as iemand doodgaan en hulle probeer terugkom na jou toe, it's always in feathers or butterflies. En my lewe is elke dag gevul met skoenlappers en vere en hoop vir my is just the promise of a better tomorrow. En dit is presies wat hoop is. As jy jou hoop vlerke gee, your dreams will take flight.
I thank God that you still have your husband.
Yes. Because a lot of marriages don't survive this. We actually have friends that also went through the same IVF journey and their marriages just never survive.
I'm so glad.
And if I can just give a little bit of hope for people that are struggling, it's don't forget about the men. Don't forget about what they go through. They might not show the emotion that we are showing, but they just keep it tucked away a little bit deeper and they will carry on, because that's what men do. They just carry on. They just go about their daily tasks, and it's not because they're not sensitive. It's just because they don't know how to deal with it otherwise, and support each other and talk about each other's feelings and never, never take your husband for granted and never blame each other. Because this is not it's not your fault. It's not his fault. It's nobody's fault. And you know, sometimes we on social media, people, when I always talked about it, they would say, yeah, but you won't get your babies because you're trying to play God. And it's not what it is. God put people on earth to help us all, you know. You've got a skill to bring people together. Doctors are there to help with problems and issues, and unfortunately in the life we live today, the food is so processed and there's so much hormones and stuff in all the food.
Things are so different.
And people are working and life is stressful and that all contributes to infertility. And it's nobody's fault. It is just the cards you were dealt, and you just need to play your cards to get to the winning slot. That's all. You need to fight. And never give up hope. That's my message. Wherever I go, you never give up hope, because if you lose your hope, it's gone. If you lose that glimmer of hope, it doesn't matter how tiny that little seed of hope is. Just try and keep it alive. Be grateful for what you have. If you're struggling to survive or struggling to get through the morning because you found out that your IVF didn't work or something bad has happened or you had a miscarriage, try and find something small to be grateful for. Even if it's just your cup of coffee in the morning, just thank God for being able to drink that coffee, because when you plant those seeds of gratefulness and gratitude, then it starts growing and it starts manifesting, and you just become things start clearing your, the sky clears up for you.
I like that. The sky clears up. Through gratitude, the sky will clear up for you.
I believe that.
And then because I get a rainbow in my
studio. Are living the life you that you that someone is praying for. Mm. And it doesn't matter how small it is. Look at those little miracles in your life.
Okay, ek moet nou quick fire hierso, want yes. Anders gaan ons heel middag huil. Finish my sentence. Die Here is my
herder, my safe haven and my rots.
Wat is jou gunsteling gebed?
My gunsteling gebed is die gebed net wat ek elke aand saam met my man en my kinders op sê is dankie Here vir ons genade.
Ooh.
That is what we pray every night.
Every night.
Thank
oh
you.
My gosh.
Dankie vir ons genade.
Ooh, nou, lekker. That's grace and mercy, man. Mm. Yeah, it's pretty special, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And never take anything for granted.
Oh, that's pretty special. This is quickfire, man. Yeah. That made me cry, man. Waar kry jy jou klere? Want jy's altyd vol kleur.
Ugh, ek love kleer. En hierdie pakkie wat ek vandag aan het, kom van my vriendin se winkel af, Nikki Lenay in Centurion.
I need to go there.
You have to.
Waar is winkel?
Baybridge Center, if you take the John Foster off ramp. Ja, just off there.
Ek gaan nou, behind ek gaan onmiddellik soon toe gaan.
Macro, ja. It's customized and the price is also good. It won't break the bank.
I think I like, she looks amazing. She's got an
Thank
amazing
you.
Outfit on. Okay, so I want to look like you. What's your favorite food?
Ooh, sushi.
Rara.
I love sushi.
Love sushi.
And pizza.
Do you cook? Pizza.
Yes, I love to cook. I make a mean stew and a mean lamb curry. My husband loves my stew.
If you hear who's looking after the baby?
Mom.
Okay.
Between the two moms.
Between the two moms.
Yeah, I'm very blessed to have an awesome mother-in-law and an awesome mother.
If you had to do your one speech on stage and you'd have to thank five people, who would they be?
Oh, firstly, for God, for all the mercy and the beauty he's brought into my life. Then my husband for just always supporting me and standing by me and just being the strength that I always needed. My mother for always picking and wiping off the tears when no one else was there to do it. My mother-in-law and my father-in-law for always supporting our family. And then my kids, because I wouldn't have gotten through it if my son wasn't there to just look me in the eye every morning with a glimpse of love, and he's my reason for always carrying on.
Well, our thanks goes to you.
Thank you.
And we want to say thank you for being, thank you for that jy bak en van hoop is for soveel mense. Keep wearing your color, girl, because you are loud and you are hope. You are. And thanks for reminding us about God's mercies, you know.
Yes.
And it will be new for you every single day.
Thank you.
Yeah, all the days of your life.
Thank you so much.
This podcast is supported by Epimax. The Epimax Baby and Junior range now offers a sunscreen cream that provides broad-spectrum protection for all skin types, including your baby's sensitive skin. Enriched with vitamin E, aloe vera, and bisoprolol, this moisturizing SPF 50 cream is dermatologically approved and delivers daily protection against harmful UVA and UVB rays. Try it today and feel the difference. Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life.